good evening, good evening, good evening, and welcome, 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 you know, dear listeners, wherever you guys find yourselves. I hope you have found some shelter. Well, here in the capital, for some reason, it has just become exponentially cold. And I'm not over-exaggerating that. You know, it happened pretty quickly. I mean, between this afternoon and now, somewhere the temperatures just fell through the floor. But we're not here to talk about temperatures. We're not here to talk about anything climatic. Well, it is ultimately associated to climate in one or other form. But we're here in the business and economic zone, here on your number one talk radio station of Eagle FM. For tonight's discussion, guys, just remember, you know, we don't have the luxury anymore of that extended time frame, you know, in terms of discussions and so on. And still to field, you know, further expansions on said discussions. But we're going to be talking about another, you know, setting in terms of some good news. Because this evening's discussion is centered about, you know, the projections. Well, it's actually, you know, sort of like a calendar projection with regards to what the Namibia Economic Board, you know, factors in or forecasts in terms of it's like a production cycle technically, and what is to be expected per month in a setting. Now, here at the Village EE paper, we announced and indicated in one of our articles that for the month of May, there will be an anticipation in terms of supply for specific agricultural produce, you know, up to the end of May. That's not from beginning of May up to the end of May. And that's all based upon, you know, the reports that the Namibia Economic Board has on their websites. No, not websites, on their website. Ultimately, it's not just to give you a breakdown in terms of periods, in terms of what to be expected, what will be excluded from being imported, because what is included in terms of the market setting is what is being locally produced and supplied. That means it takes a look at, you know, the aspect of supply, and then what should be avoided or not imported with regards to that. Now, usually it's the aspect of if you, for example, say you're going to have supply for a specific item in a specific period, then that same item may not be imported because there is supply. There is supply available, and that's coming from a local producer. Now, I can see, just to let the caller know that's trying to get in, I can see the phone line is flashing, but unfortunately not now in terms of caller's engagements. Let's give up a little bit of time up until 7 o'clock in terms of where we can have caller's engagements coming through, but not right now at this moment, I implore you. Nonetheless, getting back into the discussion, and this, guys, speaks to, it's pretty straightforward what it speaks to, because it speaks towards, you know, that there is, you know, good supply in terms of being able to meet demand, being able to supply to various outlets across the country, being able to, you know, ensure that your local retailer, wherever it is that you're based, does not experience a said shortage of said either vegetable or fruit, you know, that produce. But ultimately, we've got a fact in, guys, that most of the crops, specifically that in the vegetable category, is predominantly vegetable that we produce. Now, we are heading into the colder months. Well, we're already here. Well, today obviously signals that, you know, that entrance of the winter solstice, because I don't know, this morning and now is just two different climatic scenarios. But we're obviously heading into that into that window, into that time period of the year, where first and foremost, your body will be burning twice as much energy in terms of to stay warm. So ultimately, food will become one of the most important aspects. It is always the most important, item in everyday sustenance and everyday survival for all Namibians. It is obviously that, but it'll now just even, you know, require that much more for you to stay warm. And I know I'm factoring a little bit of, you know, a little bit of what do you call it? A health angle or a health perspective, but this is just the reality, because the colder it gets, the more your body will be burning energy. And it'll be important in terms of that, you know, Namibians will be able to source their necessary foodstuffs, their necessary items for various kinds of winter foods. Yes, guys, even though we've got, you know, run-of-the-mill, all year round, specific items in our food baskets as consumers, we will still have, in one or other way, either it will be a small percentage, but in one or other way, it'll be a small bracket or small percentage of people that actually actively change up their dietary plans for the specific period with regards to the colder months. Because with the colder months, you will be eating specific kinds of foods in order to maintain bodily heat or to actually increase it. Now, I mentioned that these projections and these reports that the Namibia Agronomic Board, host on their website, and it's all there, free to access. In terms of just navigation, it's a little bit, you know, a head scratcher. So you just have to be patient in terms of finding the information. But on all of them, or on their website itself, they give you like these detailed breakdowns that even includes the producers in the various parts of the country. And it's pretty awesome stuff. I mean, I have to commend the NAB in terms of how they collect and then categorize and then, you know, display the information as detailed as possible. And it's pretty interesting stuff to read through and to see. And the nice thing is also that they indicate to you where there will also be shortages. Now, the shortages obviously mean, you know, that there's a dip in production. And as you and I know, since this is vegetable produce that we're talking about, this ultimately is based upon seasonal aspects, because certain foods, certain fruits, certain vegetables, certain agricultural produce can only be grown in specific parts of the year. And others not, and even vice versa. Because, for example, if we have to take a look at the month of May's, you know, instance in terms of that there will be a healthy supply of four crops wherein local producers will be able to satisfy demand in that regard. These four crops, guys, are butternut, cabbages, carrots, English cucumbers, green peppers, colored pepper, onions, pumpkins, sweet potatoes, round jam, tomato, and sweet corn. Now, and I'm not saying that those are linked towards any kind of change to winter kinds of vegetables. No, I'm not saying that. It's just you and I, we both know that in essence, this is also one of the most important parts where you try to keep up.
Kukurugana yowamba, kukuningsa ozere, nukusespika nompito domgara mokagura mkisigemeke. Rambangako, uwera o HIV. Ayo, kukupoperan, tani kuirugana maokoko. Tokoras gara, ninkawa kurugana yowamba. Mokutura mwe hundiro liyo wamba zuma okoko, ndi mwagwana kuma puku rugomanzi, Tumako WhatsApp kwa nomoro zoe utantandatu zime, ntatu e utantane, mbali ntambali, mbali ntane. Ndidingura kwa Facebook kwa VMMC Namibia.
Now coming back from our short break, now just to indicate to you that ultimately, like I said, it's not the various crops that I just mentioned, or the various vegetables I just mentioned, is not to indicate that these are quintessentially for winter consumption, but you've got to understand that there are people, like I said, that will have a change in terms of their dietary plans for this period. Now, ultimately, this is not to say that also that the production element is totally linked towards dietary plan. It's just to indicate to you that there will be a healthy supply from local producers for local demand. Ultimately, that is the essence of agricultural production and marketing. You aim to supply locally. Now, what this discussion takes a look at is that it was that the reports coming from the Namibia Agronomic Board was spaced over a period of 5 months. That being from 1st of Jan up to May or end of May 2022. Now, understand, guys, that the NAB, we have to identify them as some form of a regulator and authority within the economic within the agro sector of the country. And in this specific aspect, vegetables were also, you know, monitored for production forecasts that included including those that I mentioned already: butternuts, cabbage, gem squashes, onions, potatoes, and pumpkins. Because in that same space, this also falls that the production of special controlled products is monitored by the NAB. And this involves close border monitoring. And that's also whenever they have detected or forecasted or pictured sufficient local production is to be expected. Remember, their reports are based upon forecasting and anticipation. Forecasting and anticipation. It's not just to say, yeah, we forecast and then only afterwards you go look at the scenarios, which obviously happens all the time. But it's also to say, based upon the forecasting, with regards to the various producers being considered or being factored in, you can anticipate XYZ kind of state or level of supply. Now, this, according to the NAB guys, these various sort of like control measures that they apply is in line or is implemented in line with the market share promotion scheme that they have. They also note that their production forecast covers or always covers a period of 5 months, and it is always updated on a monthly basis. So even then, you can know what was the activity, what was the historical activity, and, you know, what happened. So you can always see what happened. Now, in this period, guys, in this period, obviously, it sounds all good to you, to me, those of us that are the consumers on the ground, because we can see, okay, that there can be some form of, decent price adjustments in this period because of supply. Obviously, this is all for the local producer in that same regard. Because ultimately, the local producer will know, okay, they are now being able to obtain market share within the specified period that they will be supplying, which is very good. Since agriculture has been noted as the largest employer in terms of sector size, has been indicated as the largest employer. And remember, just we had the example of like last night's discussion of the cooperative that I spoke about, the cooperative that is in production, or that linked 2,800 women who form part of 26 associations across most of the northern regions of the country in order for Marula oil, Marula oil production. That is the kind of, you know, scenarios that point to you that there is still, there are opportunities. There is continued healthy activity taking place. I say healthy activity, guys, because remember that the agricultural sector, although it can be very robust, it does have one fragile component, or one, or let me say, it has a fragility to it. Let me just be honest. It has a fragility to it. The fragility in terms of this case is the notion of climate, the notion of healthy rainfall, the notion of, you know, not too much rainfall, not too little. Now, that's one of the things. And also to understand that obviously there are certain, certain producers would obviously have preempted such scenarios by incorporating their own kind of irrigation systems so as not to be dependent entirely on, you know, Mother Nature. But it is still nonetheless a sector that has a robust aspect to it, but it ultimately, in the same corresponding breath, it is still susceptible to major climatic changes, and that usually being in the adverse nature, in the adverse scenario. Because an adverse scenario does impact local producer production rates, local producer maintenance rates. I mean, just linking back in towards most of the COP26 discussions. And guys, it doesn't matter if you roll your eyes with regards to me always linking in COP26, because COP26 impacts everyone. COP26 impacts the mandates of Ministry of Environment. COP26 impacts the Ministry of Agriculture and Water. COP26, anything regarding COP26 impacts Ministry of Mines. Anything about COP26 impacts, what's the other ministry I wanted to bring in? Marine Resources. But we're not on Marine Resources yet. Because those that are onshore, those that have mandates on a terrestrial setting, meaning on the ground, natural environment, ecosystems, agricultural sectors, and water management. The uncertainty, I almost said unfortunate, but the uncertainty that still reigns within the global climate sphere is intense. It is intense, guys. Because the major drawback is that currently, with expected production levels in terms of the fossil fuels, which includes coal mining, is set or anticipated or envisioned or envisaged to be increasing, rates spiking, consumption rates spiking. Countries like the US and China that released strategic oil reserves in order to, to calm down rapid price fluctuations with regards to oil supply in their own internal markets. In those scenarios that I just explained to you, the fears are great that we would actually be reaching, you know, the disaster zone in terms of international climate a lot quicker than we are actually would be, you know, trying to avoid it, trying to play the avoiding game, cutting down on it. Because ultimately, guys, it is an unknown battleground. It is an unclear battleground because farmers, especially those farmers that are in the crop production segment of the agro business or the agro economy, they unfortunately are the only ones left with fighting an uphill battle. They're unfortunately the only ones. We don't have to look far at the scenarios of the extended drought that we suffered, that everyone suffered. There were farmers that had to completely sell off their entire livestock herds. That because I'm also, someone that comes from a family that has dealt with livestock, who is heavy into, cattle, especially cattle farming. Not my parents directly, but my mother came from a cattle farmer. So in that same regard, you saw the impact in terms of what happened to that being livestock farmers. Crop farmers, I didn't see as much because most of the carnage that the drought had caused was, or most of the lens, that being the media lens, had been concentrated on the farmers that were cattle farmers and small, small animal farmers, that being goats or sheep, Most of that media lens had been on them. You didn't hear much about, the guys that were either operating with crops within the green schemes or with guys that were independent crop producers outside of those green schemes across the country. You didn't hear much about those guys. If you did hear about them, it would be the chaps from Ausenker downstairs. It would be a handful of the guys up in the northern regions. That's now I'm clustering all the northern regions together. So, and it would also be with regards to certain, rainfall fears that persisted during that same period, especially for those of you that were are Mahangu farmers or that do grow Mahangu and various other kinds of starch-based crops. Yes, guys, Mahangu is starch. Don't worry. It is a starch product. Now, the fears, obviously, as it was permeating throughout the country then, was based upon the rainfall anticipation, the rainfall forecasts, the quantity, volume, and expected periods. Now, it would be a safe bet still, because, listen guys, I am happy. I am very happy that local producers are able to give such a positive message towards the Namibia Agricultural Agronomic Board. I almost said Agricultural Board. Agronomic Board. Because the Agronomic Board ultimately will be able to monitor, assist, and probably, sound any alarms if alarms have to be sounded. They will obviously indicate any positive, and very healthy statistics if there is very good news, very healthy statistics to report on. But we should understand, it's a question of being a going concern year in, year out. Year in, year out. Why do I say this? Why do I say this? It's because the threats, it's because the permeating uncertainty with regards to the global climate discussion has not been met. Remember, the global south has a major issue with the global north. The global north, i.e. the developed countries, are not themselves committing even to the tasks, the goals, and the demands that they are placing on the table. We're quickly stepping into a short break.
Touch titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Hello, Namibia. Welcome to the world of LelaPay. LelaPay is an easy-to-use payment and booking mobile app that allows you to send out classified adverts or messages to your consumers and have them published in real time. What can you do on LelaPay? Place classified adverts and messages on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, LelaPay app, and place adverts in the Villager and many more vendors. You can also make payments. One can place messages of any events, including promotion, invitations, birthday wishes, funeral notices, and any announcement you wish to announce on a national level, starting from $3.50 per message. So, how does it work? Download LelaPay app and open the app. Step 1. Register an account for free and log in to your account. Step 2. Go to your wallet balance and fund your account by filling in the required details. Step 3. Once registered, go to the vendor icons and select a vendor of your choice, Eagle FM or the Villager. Step 4. Schedule your message, type it out, and press send. Step 5. Once sent, your message or advert will shortly get published on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, LelaPay, or the Villager newspaper. You also have the option to submit artworks for your adverts. Send these to digital at omalaiti.com and they will be published shortly. To be added onto the vendor list, contact us at 081-203-9633 or 083-288-400 or simply email us at digital@omalaiti.com. LelaPay. Download it today. Available in the App Store and Google Play.
Now coming back, guys, and as mentioned, the phone lines are open in terms of engagements, telephonic engagements. You can come through at 083-288-401. 083-288-401. Now, understand this, guys. The major drawback for the Global South with regards to, you know, the targets, the aims, the goals that are set, is that first and foremost, it has a major financial commitment in order to achieve set targets and goals. And second onto that is that the commitment is always ambiguous. It's always ambiguous from the Global North. The Global South, as you know, is the entire Southern Hemisphere, which includes three of the BRICS nations. Two. Well, India falls part of it, but India actually falls on the equator in some other form. Or close to the equator, because India is pretty big, guys. India is pretty big. So, in that regard, three of the nations, that being South Africa, Brazil, and India. South Africa or Brazil that has technically the Earth's lungs, that being the Amazon forest, because the Amazon forest is bigger than the Congo Delta? There where the rainforest here in the Congo Basin is based in. Now, Brazil's one is a lot bigger because majority of the Amazon falls on Brazil's side. But in essence, the current Brazilian agricultural approach is also to clear off major parts of the Amazon, ultimately impacting that global fight. Because under Jair Bolsonaro, he doesn't understand anything to do with, you know, maintaining or trying to uplift or trying to change certain certain agricultural practices in his country. On the other end, on the other scope, you have changing rainfall periods that India has now just been experiencing. Obviously, we came out of a pretty decent rainy season. I say pretty decent because it was not as heavy as last year's, which technically ended in, I think now, in May, because we had still like a few isolated showers here and there, still in the month of May last year. So, currently right now, you know, the scenario that we see with the agronomic board's, you know, indication with regards to local suppliers that are able to achieve local demand, although it's just crops, although it's just specific crops, you have to understand it's on a staggered, you know, staggered approach, because each month they anticipate X percentage of a variety of crops being made available, that being vegetables. So understand it's in a staggered form. But the direction I'm currently on is there is no clear picture of being certain with regards to the climate situation. You see, because I truly feel sorry for our producers, because we have to produce technically with a lot of uncertainty hanging for each year. There's a lot of uncertainty being factored in for each rainy season. I mean, every January, guys, every January, and I know this is just based upon concerns coming from many Mahangu farmers or many Mahangu producers. I'll say producers. I'll stick away. I'll remove that farmer discussion, that farmer label. But many producers, many Mahangu producers, every year, guys, at the beginning of the year, and this is usually mid-Jan, they would constantly indicate, not just to local media, but in various discussion circles, even here, that there is a concern with regards to consistency with our rainy seasons. And that's now, and I'm talking about just the rainfall patterns for them, for the Mahangu producers. Because for these other crops, guys, it's spread over the country. It's spread over the country. And you will know, and also remember, that the rest of the country had its own uncertainty because of the extended drought period. But we didn't know the full picture, because in most cases, the media lens has always been on those guys that were cattle owners, that were goat farmers, that were sheep farmers, or pork farmers, who were in the dairy production element. Well, technically, there's only one entity that's, you know, fully invested in a Namibian sense in the dairy production. And that's on an industrial scale. But even then, they also came out and indicated that, you know, the drought itself, the extended drought, I mean, it lasted when? 2018, from 2013 into 2018? It's a good 5.5 years. Good 5.5 to 6 years. And right there, it indicated what the uncertainty looks like. 2011 was that where the rainy season was so intense, it lasted well into May, even to June in some parts. I speak from, you know, drawing back my memory banks, because that was the year I went to Cape Town to go study a bit. And I was still reading, you know, newspapers on the internet, seeing updates from Namibia. Because obviously you have that nostalgic feeling in trying to stay connected to your country. And I would read media updates coming through from then. At that stage, it was where certain parts between Karasburg and Keetmans, the highway there, had washed away. And a whole 18-wheeler, a truck, had capsized because below that section of the tar road, it had washed away. The similar thing that technically happened last year with the one Transnamib drain, you know, where the rainfall was so intense, it washed away a section of the support base on a little railway bridge, which saw the whole train capsize. And it's those kinds of settings, because for a producer, and you guys know it, for any person growing a crop, any person who has dealt with plants, you know you can drown a plant. For those of you who have never done or have never stood with your mother and your father in the garden, they will, and they, you have not heard this, there are certain plants, certain crops, certain aspects in terms of plant life, you should not oversupply too much water. And that is some of the threats. Oversupply of water, or undersupply, or almost no supply. And that's the uncertainty that I'm also speaking about. Because, guys, you'll find many research reports online, on the internet, where they indicate that it's the weather, the climate, is the only science that the humans, that we as humans, cannot get into. We cannot get into. We cannot. We will always be dependent upon the forecast, the projected forecast, the projected weather forecast, and weather reports and rainfall reports coming from various meteorological services across the world. Obviously, us, Namibia's one, the Namibia Met Services is, you know, always in the working in conjunction with the various other SADC Met Services, because they have to monitor the situation across SADC. Although we get our cold fronts for the winter seasons from Cape Town, because it pushes through from the Antarctic directly in a straight line to Cape Town, most of our rainfall forms over, is it eastern South Africa? Yeah, eastern and central eastern South Africa into Botswana. That means that our rainfall technically develops from the Indian Ocean. Now, Namibia in itself, guys, is also a very old country. Why do I say this? It's because of the notion in terms of anything regarding volcanic activity, earthquakes, well, you know, the recent reports coming off the earthquake. But these earthquakes are not things like or similar to the various active seismic sites across the world. Italy is one. Even here, Kilimanjaro, just here, Tanzania, Kenya, is also potentially one. I say potentially. South America also has one. Japan forms part of the whole Pacific Rim of Fire. Ring of Fire. I should forget the movie Pacific Rim. But the Pacific Rim movies technically play into that discussion. Into that seismic discussion. Because of the Pacific Ring of Fire. It's known as the Pacific Ring of Fire. The Ring of Fire just denotes, or it just indicates to you, various active volcanoes from the Asian seaboard heading into Alaska, down along the America's coastline. That includes into Chile, from Canada, from Alaska into Chile, downstairs, heading into the Pacific Islands, and then linking back up here into Southeast Asia, or South Asia. Well, Southeast Asia, technically, because it includes the whole cluster of Indonesia, Philippines, Malaysia, Thailand, and so on. Now, what I'm getting to there, guys, is that Namibia is so old, we don't even have a volcano.
Paratus Mobile LTE. Everything you want, whenever you want it. Start uploading, downloading, liking, and sharing all your experiences with the world. Starting from $100 Namibian per month, including VAT for prepaid, or $345 Namibian per month, excluding VAT for postpaid. Get online with high-speed internet the way you want it. Visit na.paratus.africa for more information.
And even onto that, why I ended off with saying that Namibia doesn't even have a volcano. Even onto that, Namibia is the only country in the world, guys, that has two deserts in it. Two deserts. Now, that obviously poses an even bigger challenge for any crop producer. Look, animals, before borders were established, obviously could move as they could, you know. That being from predatory animals towards herbivores. That also ultimately gave into various kinds of discussions with regards to pastoralist kind of, human societies, meaning people that worked with animals, for example, cattle, because you would move from waterhole to waterhole. You'd move from grazing to grazing, season to season. Obviously, now with borders there, there's no such practices as much. Even though the last pastoralists can be considered to be the Himba in the northwest of the country. And they were such of the various kinds of, agricultural communities in the country whose impact was as tangible, was so visible. Because their wealth, social status, and everything was linked through customary, practices into their livestock, into their cattle. Now, the uncertainty element also, because this is where I am so proud of these producers, is that we can enjoy this for now. We can revel in such good news, because besides all the other discussions with regards to, the socio-political uncertainties that is caused by various conflict zones across the world, by various sanctions imposed on oil-producing or energy-producing countries that ultimately impact everyone, the biggest impact is that, for now, we are reaping this benefit. You, me, everyone in this country, we are reaping this benefit. We are reaping this benefit. When these producers, are ready to deliver, it's a benefit that cascades through. Although it still incorporates the element of use, we still having to go to a shop, a distribution point to go buy. You know that you are investing technically into a supply chain that funnels that dollar back to the producer. So that producer will be able to then, continue with said level of production. To me, guys, it's good news. I like also such discussions. I like such discussions. Don't worry, I'm not a total, a negativist in terms of, talking about the various negative impacts that we experience in the world of the global economy, the world of interlinked economies. Because now and then, we also have some good stuff to talk about. Now, still staying on the uncertainty with regards to the climate discussion, guys. Well, this obviously sees one of such obvious changes that have taken place in the past 2 years. Those, those locusts, those red locusts, or those locusts itself, that at the beginning of this year found themselves here, or not the beginning of this year, beginning of this month, here in the south of the country. Now, that just shows you how that insect, remember that insect, guys, predominantly comes out of East Africa. It comes out of East Africa. It made an entire migratory move. Not just south, but across. Obviously, the way, insects can be transported is either through animal waste, that being, you know, fecal matter, or even if they got onto a car or a truck or something and they were just staying safe somewhere, sleeping somewhere. Obviously, that's also one of the ways you can factor in how an insect can be transported. The same also with how various invasive species of plant species found themselves here in Namibia. You know, ones that you can just pull out because they either have a very aggressive reproduction or rate of reproduction. They also have a very aggressive growth pattern. So that is also one of the factoring that you can always consider, because if you can see an insect being as stubborn as this red locust itself, I mean, I heard one of the, a horror story from someone that traveled up here to Windhoek from the Karasburg area, where they said it was on the highway. On that highway leading up to Kietmans, the red locusts, the swarms are so big, it looks like dust. It blots out the sun. Now, if a swarm is that big, guys, that tells you what the rate of reproduction had been at actually done. And we're not even yet on the, you know, although we're still staying contained on, crop manufacturing or crop production. Hearing such stories, because one of the biggest enemies or problems for a crop producer is always a pest. These pests come either in mammal form or they come in insect form. Now, I mean, to see a pest that far south, because just in the just below Karasburg, you will find obviously the grape plantations concentrated around the Ausenkier element. But that is a controlled approach. That's a controlled threat that any crop producer can work with. That's a controlled threat. But you've got to understand, guys, that this pest is driven by a bigger picture. It's driven by a bigger picture. And I'm coming full circle back to said climate action, to said climate discussion. I mean, the Northern Hemisphere is going to get into their warmer months now. Every year, they report, for example, the UK. The UK has been reporting every year during this period, ne? They would be getting specific kinds of storms, or they would be getting specific storms in the beginning of their winter months. That's now August, October. But these are storms, you know, that bring with it unpredictable weather patterns, especially with regards to sea storms. Just now, the Australians are now complaining about, you know, excess or over or too much rainfall that has caused flooding in some towns. Wherein the BBC themselves are listing articles that are saying that certain Australian towns have now become unlivable. I don't know if you can say something like that. That just means that you have a lacking in certain infrastructure. I really can't say if you can, yeah, I really don't think you can say something like that, because besides, well, me just slightly veering off now from the entire, you know, agricultural production discussion, certain notions obviously would point towards changing rainfall patterns happening in certain parts. And I'm going to stress this again, guys. Because that is the biggest uncertainty for any crop producer. The biggest uncertainty. Now, it is good news. I will actively actually encourage each one of us, that includes myself, you know, if you have the means in terms of the capability to stock up on crops or not crops, to stock up on vegetables for the colder months, you know, do so. Do so. Because ultimately, it is a discussion with regards to, I mean, crop production or just an agricultural industry, an agro industry itself, is one of the most fundamental industries that you can have in a country. It's the most fundamental industry. It's the most fundamental economy that human nature spawns from. I'm not talking about rapid birth rates. No, I'm not talking about that. It spawns because there is something that is cultivated, grown, sold, consumed, and the process just starts again. And you can clearly see how money and skills and other things are being developed from this industry. Because in most of the global south, in most of the developing countries, agriculture features as the largest primary sector. It features as the largest, most important sector. It features as the most crucial sector. Actually, even if you go to any developed country in the global north, well, some of them technically have done away with their agricultural sectors. Some of them have. Some of them have almost entirely done away with their agricultural sectors. I'm speaking in the sense of that they've taken out the small independent producer and rather settled for mass industrial corporate agriculture or agricultural systems, where you find instances where people are holding they own five goats as pets, not five goats as, you know, as an investment, that they're five pets, or when people have a bull and a cow with two calves, situations like that, where European governments actually subsidize, they incentivize you. Imagine now if our own government incentivized you for using the label farm to be of being a farmer. But they're not so dependent upon your production, because the whole system within the country is more geared towards a supply chain element. Obviously, that picture has now changed in recent years. That's now been for the past 2 years, especially if you take a look at the UK's Brexit situation. It has totally destroyed their pork industry, or it is destroying their pork and potato industry, or potato producers, completely. It has already destroyed their fishing industry, or, you know, fishing supplies, because they've got independent fishers, fishermen, or fishermen's associations. And on that note, guys, we're going to go to short break, and after that...
So, jy het dit gedoen. Jy het jou laat besny.
Jep.
Dit was baie dapper. Was dit nie vrek seer nie?
Dit was net so effen seer, maar dit is die moeite werd om myself teen seksueel oordraagbare infeksies te beskerm. En dit is soveel makliker om skoon te hou.
Wel, as jy dit so stel, dan moet ek dit dalk ook laat doen.
Bra, dit is die regte ding om te doen. Man Up, kry jy besnijding. Om 'n gratis besnijding te bespreek of om meer uit te vind, stuur 'n WhatsApp boodskap na 081-309-2729 of besoek ons Facebookblad by VMMC Namibia.
Speak your mind while respecting the opinions of others.
How can you say Namibia was brought on a silver platter when so many people were massacred?
No, that's not what I mean. Mm-hmm. I mean on the silver platter
in terms of the infrastructure.
Of the infrastructure. Mm-hmm. You know, there were schools, there were roads, there were...
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
To grab that victory against Ivory Coast will be a big one for us. It will be the first...
For social position to raise a child. What does that mean? Baby dumping.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
The commander say hold fire, they hold fire. When the commander says fire, they fire. You know, they are trained to kill. We are trained to arrest people and bring them before court.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
That's why some of us wear unbranded clothes. Because it's about selling their product.
So talk on Eagle FM. Eagle FM, the eye.
Now, that brings us to the end, guys, of tonight's discussion. It is a little bit of positive news ultimately there, but the matriarch has made her entrance. The matriarch is ready. I won't waste much time. I'll just give you this parting shot in terms of warning you that you will be sustaining some emotional damage. And on that note, let's see each other again. Same time, same place tomorrow.
Hello, Namibia. Welcome to the world of Lela Pay. Lela Pay is an easy-to-use payment and booking mobile app that allows you to send out classified adverts or messages to your consumers and have them published in real time. What can you do on Lela Pay? Place classified adverts and messages on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, Lela Pay app, and place adverts in the Villager and many more vendors. You can also make payments. One can place messages of any events, including promotion, invitations, birthday wishes, funeral notices, and any announcement you wish to announce on a national level, starting from $3.50 per message. So, how does it work? Download Lela Pay app and open the app. Step 1. Register an account for free and log in to your account. Step 2. Go to your wallet balance and fund your account by filling in the required details. Step 3. Once registered, go to the vendor icons and select a vendor of your choice, Eagle FM or the Villager. Step 4. Schedule your message, type it out, and press send. Step 5. Once sent, your message or advert will shortly get published on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, Lela Pay, or the Villager newspaper. You also have the option to submit artworks for your adverts. Send these to digital@omalaiti.com and they will be published shortly. To be added onto the vendor list, contact us at 081-203-9633 or 083-288-400 or simply email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Lela Pay. Download it today. Available in the App Store and Google Play.
Speak your mind while respecting the opinions of others.